Uh-oh.
A little bit of Ray. The best bits.
Is Jordan coming in today?
He is indeed, yeah.
How come you never told me Jordan was coming in today?
Beautiful Jordan.
Now, we're not talking about Katie Price.
No.
For those of you, don't be getting excited.
Jordan.
Bring Jordan
I
in.
I will.
Jordan Conroy is coming to Marconi House today for a chin. Well, actually, we've been watching his new TV show on RTE television. It's on RTE 2. It's called Man Up with a question mark. And Jordan Conroy, of course. Right. Hello, sir.
Hello,
pull up a few there. Sit down there. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the one, the only, Jordan Conroy joins us.
Lads, how are we?
Jordan, good to see you, man. How are you?
Good. I'm wrecked now. I'm off the pitch and out of the rain, but glad to be here. But
were you training today?
I was indeed. It doesn't stop because, a long lead up to Olympics now.
This is it. Representing Ireland in the rugby sevens, and you were at the Olympics
In Tokyo.
Anyone I've spoken to that was at the Tokyo Olympics said it was rubbish.
It was terrible.
Was it?
Yeah, in the sense of what you saw in the past. Like, it felt, as I always go, it felt like, you know, penitentiary prison. You just go get your food, sit down, eat and leave, and then back into the, you know.
It's like being in jail. Room.
Yeah, it was a bit annoying because the beauty of Olympics was just, you know, getting to know other athletes and their what they were doing. But you couldn't do that because everyone was scared. Everyone was scared of getting the COVID.
And then if you got the COVID, you'd be out then. You won't be able to play.
You'd be kicked out, yeah. But
wasn't there a thing about the beds, the bouncing on the beds at the?
Oh yeah, me and Greg O'Shea were put that to test. We're fairly sturdy now. Not gonna lie, lads. We literally absolutely bet into it, and yeah.
Yourself and Greg O'Shea.
Yeah, we were roomies, and we said, "Would we have a go at this?" And I remember the last day before we're leaving, we all, you know, decided to have a WrestleMania event in it, and eventually, when six lads were on top of it, it did crumble. But lads,
you put it to the test. Well, fair play. Yeah, you know, doing what needs to be done.
Yeah. Hopefully, it'll be different this year. But
well, that's the thing. So, how are you shaping up? And hang on, it's only a couple of weeks away, really. Now, isn't
it? That's the crazy thing. We qualified last year, and it's like, right, long lead up, 365 days.
No, go down now, lads.
It's only like a month, 2 months away, which is crazy to think. And our event's over in 3 days as well, then it'll be over before we know it. But yeah, we've came second in the World Series, so like we've really prided ourselves on that, and we're absolutely delighted with it. Just 2 points off the top, which is a bit sickening, but you know, it gives us confidence going into the next few months, you know, knowing that the teams we are be playing, we can well and truly beat them. It's just, you know, if we arrive on the day and do our job, and that's all it is, yeah.
So what were you doing today then? More training? What were you doing?
It was a bit of speed and skills. We had a bit of soccer match, you know, so, you know, shake out the webs off and everything. So we lost on penalties because it was a 1-1 draw, so I wasn't happy. But
we're not sending you over to Paris to play soccer.
yeah. We should stick at the rugby. So stuck in now tomorrow now with a bit of, you know, big session ahead. But yeah, it's grand. Keep it going anyway.
Yeah.
No drop off. That's the thing. We won't be dropping off now just because we've a bit of time, but just keep going now.
Yeah, and keep focused. Yeah. What kind of downtime do you get then in terms of preparation between now and then?
We had a couple of days off there coming back from Singapore on Tuesday and back in it now this week, and pretty much I think we have Madrid at the end of the month. Might get a couple of days off after in the first week of June, and then it's straight in.
It's all Olympics.
All Olympics.
When you say you're only there, so it's the few days that you're competing then?
Yeah, so it's over 3 days, so it's like Tuesday, then Wednesday's like the Olympic parade, and then I don't know, Friday, Saturday we just play our games and then we're done.
That's it. So yeah. What happens then? Like, you've got your rooms and all, and they've put you up, and you're in the village. Is it like, right, you're done now, off you go?
Basically, yeah, so you're done, but then you go into a different place called the cultural centre or something where you can kind of get to stay there for 4 or 5 days to look at other events or whatever.
Oh, cool.
And then you truly have to get kicked out because, you know, because other athletes are coming. It's like, right, you've enough here. So, yeah, that's
going to be a wildly different experience then to what you had in the penitentiary bus then.
100%. We probably won't know ourselves, you know. That's the one thing we're looking forward to. The competition itself, we've been in that. We're not worried about that. It's just, you know, losing ourselves within, you know, the canteen. But it's Paris, so we've been there a few times. So Tokyo where you can go look around and be like, oh, this is class. So we've all had a few croissants and, you know, pan au chocolat. So it's nothing we haven't seen before. But
you can stay off the pan au chocolat.
It's very hard.
Yeah, well, you can be a good boy until...
Yeah.
And in terms of eating and looking after you, like, aside from the training and loosening and playing a bit of soccer, are they watching you in terms of what you're eating?
We're all adults there. They literally know, like, you know, lads, you know what to do. It would have been a lot more monitored when we were younger. Like, I'm 30 now, so we know what
to do. You're 30?
Yeah, I know.
Jesus.
I know, I just turned 30. He's only a baby. How do you mean a baby?
You're only a baby.
3-0, lads.
Yeah, you're hitting big numbers
now. I'm telling you, I wake up like I feel 78.
Well, that's the thing. When you're bashing and lashing on the pitch every day, you're training all the time, you're going
to
feel
it. These young lads coming in who are used to just as fit as you were, and you're just like, that's where time goes, isn't it, lads?
Yeah, you know? Time will come for you.
That's it. I'm doing all the necessary precautions so I don't end up, you know, a few years left of me anyway.
Yeah, you're all right, of course, yeah. Well, are you still in touch with any of your Dancing with the Stars cohort, your gang?
Yeah, like Gráinne Seoga, Erica, talk to Salome sometimes,
meet
John and everything.
Gráinne Seoga, I mean, Gráinne, you were doing Ireland Dame last weekend.
I love Gráinne.
Oh, she's a nightmare.
What do you mean she's a nightmare? Take that back.
The ice queen, they call her.
Nothing but warm from her.
Darth Gráinne, that's what I call her, yeah.
Me, Erica and Gráinne, we're like a little trinity. Us in
really?
There. We're the life of the party.
Do you have? I'm joking, by the way. Before you,
I know.
I do have a sense that Jordan is going to punch me any minute now. And
I'll be texting Gráinne.
No, I love GS. Do you have a WhatsApp group?
We do. Yeah, we were watching. It was the last year to see the new season of Dance with the Stars, and we're just putting in what we thought.
What's that like when you see the new? Well, it's like when you've just graduated from sixth class in primary school. You're watching the whole new class coming in.
We could just relate like how terrified we were at the first dance. Like, oh, do you remember that? And it's like, yeah, I could see it. And yeah, it was just funny seeing it, you know, but also it was much more open, and we were just raging. We couldn't, you know, have that as well because we were still in COVID at the time. And
oh, Jesus, your Olympics and your Dancing with the Stars experience was all during a crazy time.
Yeah. Might do another season again.
He's available. He'll give it a go. Once he gets back from Paris, we'll sign you up.
Oh, no.
What was aside from keeping in touch with people, Dancing with the Stars, they say it's quite a unique experience that you'll always have that sort of that bond between each other.
And that is because with COVID as well, we were just so much closer as well because we couldn't go out that much or anything. So it was literally just, it was us day in, day out and even practicing. So we just became like a little family, some of us. So yeah, it was
your bubbles. Exactly. Do you any dancing now at all?
Couldn't fit in. Maybe a bit on the rugby pitch for a celebration, but that's about it.
Right, well, that's fair enough. It'll still stand here. You'll have that talent forever. Yeah.
You don't forget it.
Do you still have the memorised moves? Do you still dream the steps?
I was actually, fair enough, on the TV show, I had Karen on it, which would have been last week's episode. We were saying, do you remember New York or your tango steps?
This is Karen Byrne, the dancer.
Karen Byrne, yeah, mm-hmm. I had her on the show, and literally, after a couple of minutes, it was just like,
straight back in.
Bang, I'm back. And I was like, I'm on the dance floor. And it was just hilarious because I was saying to Karen, like, it's mad how you just don't forget it. And it's like, So that was funny. But trying to teach the lads now was something else.
Well, tell us about the lads. this show is, it's fascinating and interesting and inspiring as well. I was just about to say before we play the song, I've got two boys myself. One is 10 and one is 12. They're very different characters, but they're it's through them you get an insight into the way boys, and not just between each other, but like their peers, their friends in school or their friends on teams or training on Saturday. You get the sense of there is this sort of unspoken language between boys. And as they are growing up, they don't seem to have any awareness of it. It's this innate sort of their culture. Yeah. Anyway, Man Up is the name of the show.
Yeah.
Tell us what you're doing with these lads.
So they came to me. So there's two parts of the show. So the first part was I take 10 teenage boys from ages 12 to 14 and put them together to try and form a team. And the sports was going to be rounders. So it was 10 individual lads from different backgrounds who mightn't have played sports, who might have do music, dancing, you know, piano, everything, and bring them together and see what would happen. Could we make a team out of them? But also, it kind of went beyond that then as well. It was just kind of, as you were saying there, it was like asking, you know, what it's like to be a young teenager in today's world. Mm. There's a difference from the time you were teenagers to when I was teenagers. Certain things still the same, and what the stigma around, you know, being, you know, a boy or a man is. And it was a very interesting insight, you know, getting a little view from each of the lads. And you know, kind of from day by day, I learned so much from the experience, because the way I tried to sometimes deal with things was from my personal experience, but sometimes, you know, my personal experience is not going to, you know, relate or help someone else's with their experience. So it was definitely eye-opening to just kind of step back and just learn from the lads. And just through talking to them and even watching the show back from their voice, from their voice notes or their videos, like how much more open today's youth are compared to when I was a teenager, because this was the challenge I thought I would have had, is these lads wouldn't open up and they'd be afraid to open up about, you know, things they can't do or problems they might have come to the sports or to when I take them out to different sports and to see how to deal with frustration, to deal with anger, to deal with these emotions. Can they deal with these emotions? And I was honestly taken back about how emotionally intelligent these lads were.
Really?
Compared to myself.
Where did that come? Well, let me get to you in a second, but where do you think it comes from in these young men? Is it just like the culture is much more emotionally intelligent or emotionally aware?
I thought of two things. Maybe it's in time we live in with, you know, social media being out there, and we have, you know, a few figures that kind of teach us to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I myself took some things, you know, learning from social media that I applied to myself, but also maybe the parents, you know, as well, have kind of changed the way, you know, they raise the kids and, you know, have addressed things a lot more.
Okay.
And be more open with their kids. Because sometimes, you know, with parents, they want to shield their children and wait till they get to a certain age. But I think the teenage years are like the most important, especially for boys. It's such a confusing time for us lads to be able to try and open up. Because, you know, if I was to open up or cry, I would be terrified what my friends would think, or what would the lads think that don't know me, because I'd be a wuss or I'd be a girl and everything like that. So you close yourself off, and that's what I expected to see with these young men, but I didn't. And it was refreshing to see, and I was delighted to see that, because it kind of warmed my heart to see that these were able to open up and be able to talk about their emotions and what they feel, because we as men tend to sometimes just hold on to so many things and not express it, which can be so toxic in for ourselves in a way. So when I saw that, and especially when I watched the show, it kind of made me a little bit emotional, because I was like, those were my little boys, my little brothers that I, you know, guided the whole way. And to be able to see that, I was like a little proud older brother. Yeah. It was amazing.
Well, you do have the role of sort of a mentor on the show, and you certainly come from your background, particularly being strong and good-looking and young, sporting and rugby sevens and whatnot, that, like, you're certainly someone that they can look up to, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting to me, though, that, you know, you just told us a couple of minutes ago you're 30. Yeah. It's not like you're 15 generations older than these kids.
Yeah.
But that even you, from your perspective, you can see a change in these younger kids, that they're more attuned to their emotions and their emotional well-being.
100%, yeah. From what I gathered by those lads, and hopefully in a much wider, you know, range. But yeah, I was kind of, because like, I was taught back to myself, and I was like, is it a problem? I thought it would have been a problem and something that I wanted to tackle myself in the show if I had to. But
which is what?
Which was try and let the lads use myself as an example first. As you said, you know, rugby player, big and strong, manly, but I also wanted to show, like, you can have a softer side to your, you know, to your personality, and it's very important to have that. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't always, you know, try and portray this cool kid, and, you know, everyone has their problems, everyone has their struggles, but it's also doesn't make you any less manlier to have emotions, to be sad, to want to cry. And that's what I wanted to get across. Because they saw me and it's like, oh my God, your muscles, you must be hard and everything. It's like, yeah, you're a true trainer. But, you know, I'm also quite, you know, quiet and soft-hearted, little teddy bear all behind it. And I just wanted to be able to show them that it's okay to do that. And with some lads in the group, they had that soft side. And I wanted to be able to say, don't ever lose that.
That's fine.
Don't ever lose that.
Yeah, that I'm interested in is that, like, you mentioned that they're all from different backgrounds, and you've got kids then that are like, you know, it might be some naturally sporty.
Yeah.
You were talking about playing soccer a minute ago. I remember you, when you were on the 6 o'clock show with us, you used to play something else as well, didn't you?
I played Everton, so it was like soccer, GA, did the athletics. Yeah. I did Everton
But you're the type of person that obviously could take to anything.
Exactly.
And that would be an easy in, or socially a useful tool.
I was very lucky that way, yeah.
Yeah, but then you've got kids that don't have that aren't able to sort of integrate in that way, or through a sport or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and you've got a mix of all these sort of interests and backgrounds. And then when you've got them then sort of existing and being okay with who they are.
Yeah.
That's so refreshing to see from their perspective.
That was another surprise thing. When I thought, right, I'm going to have 10 different personalities here together, can there be conflict? Are they all going to like each other? Am I going to have to step in and, you know, I have to talk to some lads to go easy? But, I mean, I remember the first day I was hiding and the lads came in the first day of filming and like that, a house on fire, they all started chatting. And what was beautiful to see is how accepting they were of each other as time went on. They knew...
Because they are different, yeah.
They are different and they had differences. And some lads weren't as good as others. Some lads were better than at other things, but they all celebrated their indifferences, you know, and, you know, took each other, you know, as one. And that's another thing that I was delighted to see, was seeing that in young men, being able to be accepting of others. You know, it'll stand to them in the future.
It's brilliant. I could talk to you all day about this. I'm selfish and greedy about my own kids, particularly. It's, your insights in it. And we're glued to it. A couple of things on it. I really like that it's on at 5:30 in the evening so kids can watch it.
Yeah.
That's quite a clever...
It was actually supposed to be in 2:30, but they loved it so much they bumped it up to 5:30.
Right. I think that's a great move, though, genuinely. And like, if that's a time that teenagers will be in a position to watch it, or mums and dads can go, oi, you're watching that.
Yeah.
It's useful. It'll be good for all of us. And the other thing then is that there is a focus on men's mental health.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting bogged down in the statistics of it, but they are frightening in terms of men looking after themselves and not looking after themselves and being healthy and being well and living. And it will stand to young men and kids to watch this programme and get an insight into, Jesus, we're all different and we can and it's you're going to be fine, as we keep saying, you're going to be fine. Man Up is the name of the show. Man Up with a question mark. It's on Mondays on RT2. You can see this evening at 5:30. Jordan Conroy, thanks so much for joining us.
A little bit of Ray. The best bits. Catch Ray Foley from 2 p.m. weekdays on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!